Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You will drain it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And as if we willed it into existence, Viennetta, the fancy layered ice cream cake made from the 90s, is making a comeback. I thought we would get a call about it. Turns out we just got about a million tweets about it.
I didn't really will this back into existence, I have to say. When we were talking about it, I wasn't like, wow, wish I could eat this. Maybe you did.
I think I secreted this. This is law of attraction.
Well, can you maybe try it on something else? Maybe like not the Viennetta? There's a few other topics I'd love for you to attack with your positive thinking.
It turns out I have the power, so I'm going to start thinking positively about a whole lot of other things instead.
Not just the Viennetta. You've been doing the Viennetta for the past
novelty ice cream
year.
Cakes.
Yeah.
Novelty ice cream cakes.
Just the Viennetta has been on your mind for the past however long since we talked about it.
I should refocus my intentions. Now that I've gotten this taken care of, I can move on to other things.
It's only one thing at a time. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how my particular version of it works.
Right,
yeah.
You're like Katie Holmes, but useless. I got it.
Yeah, just one thing. Katie Holmes was pretty useless too. She only used it to what, fix her roof?
Okay, she changed her whole life. She got a boyfriend. She didn't get a Viennetta, but she did get a boyfriend. I guess you did something for the world. She did just something for herself. So what you did was truly more noble. Okay.
I did.
Yeah.
She was very selfish with her for their use of the law of attraction.
Very selfish.
This is Who's There, a weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619 Who Them. We can start with comments.
Had to pause the pod. How dare you who the sweet escape Gwen Stefani? She's obviously a huge them. My mom was a really big Gwen Stefani fan, so like I was in middle school in like the Sweet Escape era, but I like grew up on No Doubt. My mom loved it, and like so I think that I have a broad understanding of all of the different Gwens. That being said, Sweet Escape Gwen is iconic. That video was on like the VH1 charts. I watched it on like Sunday mornings every day for what feels like a year, and I was so obsessed with it that at the time I was getting pretty techie because I knew how to put custom music on my Sims 2 game. So when my Sims 2 Sims would go to play music on their stereo systems, Gwen Stefani Sweet Escape would play. So just letting you know, you unlocked that memory for me. Okay, inside.
Wait, how do you do that? Did you know how to do that?
No, but I did it to like with like Roller Coaster Tycoon. There were some ones where I knew
oh
how to
my
add in custom music in certain video games, but I never did it with The Sims.
I'm a hacker, but I did not know how to change the music on Sims 2. That's like incredible. I just knew how to like type in the codes or whatever. Oh, I did know how to download the skins. You could like download like, you know, different characters and stuff that I could easily do. But wow, changing the music to Sweet Escape, all your Sims, trapping your Sims in a Gwen Stefani hell zone is like the funniest thing I can imagine for them.
And then playing the Sweet Escape for some like cruel irony.
Can you imagine being a Sim and you're like, for some reason, the only song that turns on our radios now is Gwen Stefani's The Sweet Escape, and we don't know what happened. It's like under the dome. You just don't know, but the reality within your Sims is you've just like created them a nightmare for them.
Can you imagine being a Sim? Sweetie, we are Sims. What do you think this is?
Damn it.
I am a Sim.
Get out of here with that.
You are a Sim.
Okay, well, at least when I turn Sims on the radio, it's not just Gwen Stefani's The Sweet Escape. Actually, for a while, it was. Whenever that came out. Whenever
probably
that song came out.
Probably when this caller was making her Sims 2 Hell House.
I know.
And only and we played were, Sweet Escape.
And also, we were saying the look is a who. The song sure is them, but the look, her look at that point was her whoiest look. It was like,
it was a flash in the pan look.
Yeah, what is this look? Oh, this look now? It's like, no, it's not the most iconic Gwen look. And even she knows it.
A bow could he ski. A wreck, a reedy, placey, moody, whoa. A Bocazor de Burfer Group. Furuby, Furby, Dooby, Dooby. Tell Bobby no Woobies or Koosh.
Hi, Who Weekly. So, my brain is melting. And you're talking about naming a baby Boss Baby, like after Boss Baby from the show or movie. But just to be clear, similar to Baby from Dirty Dancing, Boss Baby's name is not Boss Baby. Boss Baby's name is Lindsay Templeton. I have small children and I've been stuck at home with them for 10 months. Can you tell? Crunch, crunch. Bye.
This is confusing because I did make a joke that I would name a baby Boss Baby. But you're right. Boss Baby's name is not Boss Baby. It's Theodore Lindsay with an A, Templeton. If I named a baby Theodore Lindsay Templeton, only people like you, no offense, who have children and have seen Boss Baby as much as I have, would know the reference. Meanwhile, the greater world would not know that I just named my baby after Boss Baby, which I guess maybe is more subtle and more smart. But I'm just saying to you, it's not as funny.
It's definitely smart. It's definitely smart.
So, yes, the reveal of Boss Baby having a girl's middle name is a big plot of the first one or whatever.
It's a big plot. I just wanted to correct this caller, not to be rude. I was just like, of course we know the Boss Baby's name is Lindsay. It's Lindsay's favorite movie. We've talked about it on the podcast before. You're very much the Boss Baby.
I am the Boss Baby. The Boss Baby is named after me. But we do not associate the Boss Baby with Alec Baldwin. We've removed the connection to Alec Baldwin in our minds, gone. Hearts, and souls. Yeah, even though he's in both movies. Did you see the news? The new Boss Baby was delayed?
Did I see? You texted it to me and you
I'm
were
sorry.
Upset.
Do you need more time to make the Boss Baby? It's literally a cartoon. I'm sorry, finished. you need more time? Then why are they doing that? So that we can see it in theaters? Okay, I appreciate that. That's fine.
Yes, that's why.
I know. That's I guess why. I'll go see it in theaters. Great opportunity for me.
Let's move on to questions.
Hey, Bobby, Lindsay. I just saw these pictures of Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles holding hands at someone named Jeff's wedding. Gonna need to know what is happening there, who's Jeff, and what's up. Very, very important, I don't know, development. Can you please explain? Crunch, crunch. Bye. Who is Jeff?
Well, who is Jeff? I mean, I don't know. I'll see who cares, but whatever. Turn to your lesbian.
My favorite question is, who is Jeff and also who cares?
I love when people only were allowed to cheat thems into our syllabus. You are not allowed to cheat thems into our syllabus. This is the biggest, this is the most glaring them cheat of the Who Weekly season, aside from when we talked about Gwen Stefani for 20 minutes last week. Huge Who.
About 2 minutes ago, we talked about Gwen Stefani for too long. Yeah, we Trojan horse some thems in here, yeah.
We definitely did. We hid Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde in a big-ass horse and led them in, pulled in by some guy named Jeff. So now we have to tell you who Jeff is, therefore talking about this maybe relationship. We have two rumored relationships with various degrees of evidence today, but this is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you also see the Channing Tatum, Zoe Kravitz rumors were also squashed? They were like,
those
no, they're
were
not
squashed.
Dating. Well, E! News claimed they had the exclusive that they weren't dating.
The other two had like breadcrumbs. The Zoe and Channing thing didn't even have breadcrumbs, so there was nothing.
We didn't have a pick.
On the same day, people from every angle were like, I'm hearing that Channing Tatum and Zoe Kravitz are dating. Like, I'm hearing this. And so we all just believed it because how fun is that? But there was nothing.
Right, especially because she just announced they're getting divorced. Channing is a great figure, whatever. Yeah.
You know what my first reaction to that was and still is, and honestly I'm heartened, was like, what? I was sad because I felt like Channing and Jesse J were a perfect match.
I know, and that's not even because we are who we are, but I really thought that Jesse J and Channing Tatum were a perfect match.
Perfect
I think they
match.
Still are. I think they'll still get back together. I think he called her when she was in the hospital for like tinnitus or whatever. Oh, she had Legionnaires. No, she had Meniere's.
Meniere's.
Meniere's. She's fine, but she went to the hospital and I think he called her.
But I feel like Jesse heard the rumors too about Channing and Zoe, and maybe Jesse sent Channing a text and just said, hope it isn't true, and then put it apart. You know? That's what I pictured.
Yeah. He's like, babe, no, it's not true. And then she texted E! News like, it's not true. Then they posted it wasn't true. Okay, back to Jeff. Oh, God, who cares? Jeff got married mid-pandemic with a few people, but still dumb. Meanwhile, he has these people who are filming a movie come to the wedding. Talk about
don't
not
travel
safe cross-pollination. I'm just saying these people are doing
from
the most
one
like,
part of a surge state to another part of a surge state. I'm not going to look at this wedding and say, this is cute. No, I'm
it's
not.
It's just insane to see, first of all, you're filming a movie, which is already like kind of a risky production, right? Like, then you're going to go to a wedding in the middle of that production, like, and you're taking the director of the movie. It just feels like the director of the movie should be like, maybe I shouldn't go to a wedding because it feels like maybe I should keep my movie free of COVID. Anyways, without that context, because that context is not fun, really just not fun.
No.
Jeff is Jeff Azoff. Jeff Azoff is Harry Styles' manager and quote unquote best friend. Harry did wear a bathrobe and conduct the services of the wedding. He married them, so that was cute, I guess. Jeff Azoff is most famously Irving Azoff's son. So if you wonder how you get into the music industry, it's your dad's Irving Azoff. How do I become a music manager? Well, your dad's Irving Azoff, who basically invented the music industry in some ways. Just a big guy in the music industry. But Jeff, whatever, he has his own agency. God, what else is there to say?
Who cares?
His wife is named Glenn. She works at Apple Music. She was at Snapchat. She also works in music. And she worked at CAA.
The rumor, the goss, the assumption. It's more like just an assumption because they both worked at CAA at the same time. That's how they met.
Right. Which clicks because that's how you meet people.
Okay. Isn't that boring? Wasn't that fun? The question,
so
who is Jeff,
boring.
Is hilarious. And the way that this was covered, the way it was like with Naturi Naughton's ex-boyfriend, Ben, where it was like, Naturi Naughton and Ben over and over again. This was Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde go to Jeff's wedding. We didn't know who Jeff was. The moment you find out who Jeff is, you're so bored.
Right.
You're so bored.
It's just so funny because I don't actually think anyone genuinely cared who Jeff was. Like, it's a very disingenuous way to talk about what these two possibly having sex.
And what do we think about that? Again, this isn't Them Weekly, but I'm intrigued. And I think
not
Olivia
Them
Wilde
Weekly.
Is cuspy. I think
Olivia
Wilde
is cuspy.
Extremely cuspy.
I don't know.
Her dog confuses her with Olivia Munn. We know this.
Okay, so her divorce was just announced, but they broke up, I think, months ago because that's how things work. It's like they didn't break up as soon as they got divorced, but it means she's been single for a while.
They'd never gotten married. They were just engaged for a long time.
They have two kids. She's working on this movie. She's the director. Harry Styles is in, and he replaced Shia LaBeouf in this film. I'm just trying to lay the groundwork for what I think. I don't know. I'm like, I hear lots of rumors about Harry Styles, you know, dilly-dallying and dilly-dallying. That's the wrong word. Just like out there being like, you know, fucking around in like a fun way, like just being
in a fun
like.
Way.
Anyways, is what I'm saying is like, it doesn't surprise me to say Harry Styles is hooking up with XYZ. He also historically likes older women. So the 10-year age difference is not a thing for him in terms of like, oh, I can't picture this. It's like, yeah, I can kind of picture this. You know, because I don't know if you remember, a few months ago, there were rumors on Twitter that he was hooking up with Tracee Ellis Ross, which I actually do fully believe. I don't know about you.
Sure. I believe
that
it.
Was
why
out
not?
There. Yeah. Why not?
Those rumors are still going around, too.
They are.
My gut says that they're not fucking, that they knew what would happen if they held hands on this thing. They're promoting a movie like they're just having a laugh. And I don't believe the sources that are anonymously ducking the tabloids being like, oh, they're keeping it secret. I don't buy it. It's just my intuition. Can't explain it.
I kind of think that if they're pictured like this, they're at least hooking up. I don't know. I'm kind of like, why? What's the point of this? Getting press for a movie that isn't even out. Getting press for a movie that has no press to go against. They don't need good press for a movie that doesn't have any press. It's still filming. If anything, getting press for being at a wedding in like kind of doing dangerous mid-pandemic behavior is not amazing. So why would you go to a wedding and draw attention to the fact that you're doing that by holding hands? I don't know. It just feels very like whatever it is, it's not well planned.
the photos are just so dumb and silly, and they knew that they would get exactly this. And it just feels especially trolly.
I think that not everything is, oh, they're trying to get press. Like, that is like an easy blanket answer for everything. There's a huge difference between Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas, like, their romance, like, getting press for Deepwater, and these two getting press for Don't Worry, Baby, or whatever. I think there's, like, it's a thin line, but it's a difference.
Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour is over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. What are these rumors on Twitter that Jeffree Star and Kanye West hooked up? Where is this coming from? What happened?
Well, where is it coming from? It's coming from a TikTok.
TikTok.
Naturally. TikTok. This woman on TikTok was like, Kanye West and Jeffree Star. Well, you have to put this into context of the day that happened yesterday. Aside from literally the world exploding, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West kind of announced they were getting a divorce. Not even they announced it. There were rumors that were confirmed by Page Six. Then TMZ was like, well, they're considering it. Basically, there is a groundswell of information that implies that people are hiring lawyers and a divorce is happening. So Kim and Kanye are probably getting a divorce, possibly getting a divorce, again, not confirmed. And then this comes out. And then this woman's TikTok starts trending around Twitter.
And her TikTok starts trending on Wednesday morning when it got completely overshadowed by all the Capitol news. But it was bubbling under the surface, you know? Like, it was everywhere, even though other things were more everywhere. You know what I mean? I'll play again.
Yeah.
Now that Kim's finally doing this, I feel like I can spill the tea that I've been holding on to for months. This whole divorce comes as no surprise. Kanye's been hooking up with a very famous beauty guru. Male beauty guru. A lot of people in the scene have known for a while.
Meanwhile, who is this woman? What is her scene? Anyways, will you click the other TikTok that also came out? It says the two TikToks. There's one link right there.
This is the TikToker who actually did explaining. Here we go.
Did Kanye West cheat on Kim Kardashian with Jeffree Star? This rumor has people shook on social media right now. Let's talk about it. So this rumor starts with the fact that Kanye has been living exclusively at him and Kim's Wyoming ranch for the last month while their divorce plays out peacefully, which is what they wanted for their kids. He also spent a lot of time there with his friends over the summer while all of his election stuff was going on. Here comes in this viral TikTok with this girl sharing that she has exclusive information about Kanye's infidelity.
Nope. This whole divorce comes as no surprise. Kanye's been hooking up with a very famous beauty guru. Male beauty guru. A lot of people in the scene have known for a while.
Continuing, we all know Kanye West has been at his ranch over the summer in the last month, but guess what other beauty guru announced he was moving to Wyoming in August? And now lives there. Jeffree Star. Ava Louise said that her friend is a great lawyer and met with Kim over the summer. Apparently, Kim gave the unnamed lawyer all the evidence that Kanye was cheating on her with Jeffree Star and was planning to file for divorce. Also, if Kanye was hooking up with a male beauty guru, him and Jeffree live in the same gated community. And now both happen to live in Wyoming. These are unconfirmed rumors.
The TikToker's name is Ava Louise.
She's also the TikToker who licked a toilet, called it the coronavirus challenge, licked a toilet on an airplane. Mm-hmm. Just saying, if you want to... The context of this girl, shout out to Pop Crave for posting. The woman responsible for the Kanye West Jeffree Star viral meme is actually Ava Louise. The problematic influencer went viral in March for licking a toilet seat as part of the corona challenge.
So the source of this is Ava Louise, who is extremely popular on TikTok. So if she is going to go on TikTok and make a claim like this, it's going to go everywhere really, really quickly. But she's just like an aspiring singer and TikTok star.
She has 500,000 followers. That's not huge on TikTok. That's big, but not huge.
That's enough.
So the claims we're dealing with here is that they both moved to Wyoming and that they both have a house in the Hidden Hills in LA. Okay, the first part I didn't quite get until I heard that TikTok again. I thought that they meant gated community in Wyoming. Of course, I thought, why would you live in a gated community in Wyoming? The whole point of Wyoming is to have like thousands of acres of land around you and to have a huge ranch. You wouldn't want to be near anyone. But the point is, I did look up where they both moved to because I was curious. Kim and Kanye purchased a ranch in Cody, which I know the exact address of because it's very easy to look up. And then Jeffrey purchased a ranch reportedly at the base of the Casper Mountain in Wyoming. So if you do like a drive directions between them, it's a 4-hour drive. So it's not like these two moved in shacked up in Wyoming. Could you drive 4 hours to hook up with Kanye West? Sure. Would you all the time? Whatever, I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
And at first this was believable just because the reason being is that there's always been rumors about Kanye West or whatever. And, you know, with everything going on, it feels very like, all right, why not, you know? But then Jeffree Star tweets a picture of himself that says, I'm ready for Sunday service, which is clearly a troll. And now I fully don't believe it. I'm like, I don't believe it at all.
And also, Wyoming is iconically, which I didn't really realize until doing exactly one Google, where you will find every news service in the entire world has written about the fact that rich people, as in like billionaires especially, love buying real estate and parking their shit in Wyoming because they have extremely lax incorporation laws and tax laws. So you don't pay a lot of taxes. And it's really easy to create shell companies anonymously. And those laws have changed, and I don't want to get into it because I don't really understand it that well. But if you are rich, it's really good for your money and assets to be parked in Wyoming. So it's not surprising that rich people would move there because they've been moving there for a long time now.
Right. And the thing about Hidden Hills is it's also a place where a lot of rich people live. So if you said, oh, Jeffree Star and Kanye West are hooking up because they both live in Hidden Hills, then I guess like every celebrity is hooking up with each other because they all fucking live in Hidden Hills.
They all live there. All of the Kardashians live there too. So it's just like, oh, is Jeffree Star hooking up with Kris Jenner as well? Like the math doesn't really hold up at all.
The math does not hold up. Celebrities who live in Hidden Hills, it's literally like a laundry list. Drake lives there. Like it's a lot of people.
It makes sense though for a story like this to go viral. It was sort of only a matter of time after the divorce was, I don't know, quote unquote announced, because it wasn't announced by them. It was announced by the press. I wanted to believe this so badly for like a hot hour, you know, a hot 60 minutes. But then the moment you do your one Google, you realize, oh, this is probably bullshit. Oh, wait, this person used to lick toilet seats.
We're already villainizing Kanye for many reasons, especially in this divorce. Kim Kardashian definitely took charge of the leaked information. You can tell by what's being said in the press. It's definitely coming from her camp. It has Kris Jenner's hands all over it. The mark of the devil. And also, however you feel about Kanye, it's already villainizing him, which is always going to be the case because she literally is going to law school. So she has Laura Wasser, the iconic celebrity divorce lawyer, on her side, and she's going to be the one with the more powerful accepted message in this divorce, however you feel about it or not. And Jeffree Star is the villain of YouTube. He's literally YouTube's number one villain. And so to have them like, quote unquote, maybe hook up is kind of like this perfect narrative. It's almost too perfect. And that, I think, is what kind of convinced me after the tweet when he was bragging about it or like trolling about it. I was like, all right, this is bullshit. Like, because now you're playing into, now you're just playing into it.
Jeffrey's like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Jeffrey loves this rumor.
I know.
Loves it.
To me, it feels very.
Yeah.
I'm just like, all right, you ruined it, and you made it now that I just don't believe it, you know, for various reasons.
And I am the most gullible person on the planet. I would love to believe this, but it just doesn't hold up to me. So the second them adjacent relationship rumor that just doesn't hold water.
Wow, two debunked by Bobby, although I don't know if I wouldn't say the first one I fully agree with, but the second one I do agree with.
The first one makes more sense than this one. Really? Because there is a connection there? Like, there's no connection.
Right. Well, there's also a little photo of them holding hands. This one, we don't have any information. We just have two TikToks or a few TikToks from a lady who also licked the toilet. I'm not trusting some woman who licked a toilet in an airplane in March. Get out of here. I wouldn't lick a toilet anytime on an airplane, let alone now.
Both of them had the same, I don't know, cadence. Both of those videos, the the toilet liquor and then the other TikToker.
Well, that's like, how TikTokers talk. It's really amazing.
It's amazing. You can't really mimic it unless you're knee deep in it. And
it's like this. It sounds like this. Kim and Kanye West are getting divorced today. Clip. Clip. Because then, it's fast clips, but they have to go really fast. And their head is popping up in front of the like green screen or whatever they're showing behind them. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing tool.
TikTok is an extremely robust editor, but it's also like really tedious. So to be able to like navigate the tedium of making a TikTok video and maintain that energy is like really impressive. But I'm just saying that like this wouldn't have gone as viral as it did. This is just my speculation.
It's what do you think?
Because it's TikTok, those videos are just so easily believed.
I think it's what those videos feel like they're on the inside somehow, when mm-hmm. literally the basis of a TikTok video is anyone can sign up for an account and make them. And actually mm-hmm. we should be more wary of these sources, because literally it could just be anyone going on a camera saying da da da. But it almost feels like the culture of TikTok is, hey, I'm a waitress and I worked at this restaurant and Kim Kardashian came in and she was rude. And that already, I think that those types of videos set the precedence that TikTok is somehow an insider, that all of these people have all of this information that they're just going to share. And I think that that's what the problem is. So when something like this comes out and this woman just says, people have been talking about it, everyone's talking about it, you're like, they have. Oh my God, they have. When it's like, not necessary. Like, no, she could just
say that. The woman who licked the toilet in March on TikTok said that all the insiders are talking about Kanye and that's Kim's divorce and that he's fucking Jeffree Star.
Right.
It's like, oh.
Right. Like the timing is too good and the source is not good enough. But like, I fully understand how TikTok feels this faux intimacy, kind of like a podcast. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a podcast.
Yeah. No, it reminds me of Clubhouse too, where it's like the moment you step into Clubhouse, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I like walked into an actual house party. And
I would believe anything anyone says because it's like gossip. I'm like, ooh, gossip. It's like when you're in Zelda and you eavesdrop on a conversation from outside a door. Have you ever done that in Zelda?
I didn't play Zelda, but I do that in the Hitman games. In the Hitman games, you have to walk around. You walk around. You listen to people say like, "Well, I heard that they're having some meeting in the big boardroom over there." And you're like, "Okay, that's where I'm gonna kill the guy in the big boardroom at the meeting."
Oh,
the
thing. Zelda's more like you overhear people being like, "There's a treasure in the mountain. I think it's at the top of this specific mountain." And you're like, "Oh, bitch, I'm going to get that treasure." That's all I do is play Breath of the Wild. Okay, moving on.
Did you get Witcher 3?
I got to finish Breath of the Wild first, bitch.
Oh, I thought you finished Breath of the Wild forever ago.
I have to get every shrine. I'm working at it. Oh, you have to get all the shrines. This takes hours.
Did you get all the Korok seeds?
That's even more of a commitment. There's hundreds and thousands of Korok seeds. There's literally thousands of Korok seeds.
Next call.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. Cast of Bridgerton. British them? British who's? American who's potentially becoming them? And who are they? Can you walk through like the main people? I'd rather you do it than me. Oh, that's my crap. Crunch, crunch.
Bridgerton on Netflix, aka Shonda Rhimes' first Netflix contracted project, which is pretty interesting what she did with it. I kind of am like obsessed with the idea that she literally got a gajillion dollars and Disney passes from Netflix and said, well, the first thing I'm going to do is something that is nothing like I've ever done before, which is very cool. It's like it has a Shonda heart, but it really doesn't resemble Grey's Anatomy or For the People or Scandal. It doesn't have that episodic-ish vibe that I think those shows famously do for network TV. I think she knows she doesn't need that on Netflix, but like that's a whole other story.
And also, like, from a marketing perspective, it's like Shonda Rhimes could fart out another great, like, hospital procedural. You know,
that's
like,
true.
That's easy. So she's like, I'm gonna get press for something different.
That's not what she wants
to do. And surprise
people
by saying, this is also good.
Totally. Like,
I expect her to make another show that's similar to Grey's Anatomy at some point, because why wouldn't she?
We are not going to focus on the show itself, because we're going to talk about that actually on this week's bonus Patreon. If you want to hear us go in depth about the show, we will be doing it there. What we're going to talk about here is the stars of Bridgerton, who may or may not have a breakout who moment. My question to you is, it came out, what, last weekend or 2 weekends ago at
Christmas,
this point?
Two weekends ago, because it was Christmas.
Has it sustained the kind of excitement? Are people still buzzing about this show? Like, is it Queen's Gambiting?
I think it's definitely Queen's Gambiting a little more slowly, but even the what Queen's Gambiting means changes week to week, day to day also, because like, who gives a shit about the Queen's Gambit anymore? Who gives a shit about big-eyed girl from Queen's Gambit? You know, like, there are no more of those conversations happening. So it's sort of like, I think the Netflix effect is very weird. How many Netflix, like, hunk of the weeks have we talked about, you know?
You really get gaslit by the excitement. It's interesting how big these shows make you feel like they are when they aren't necessarily that big. Or they are that big, but the light burns fast and bright and is
fast
done.
Fast and bright. They are big because Netflix is now getting tons of their press by saying like, oh, 60 million households watched it, which what does that even mean? You know,
and they are big because these actors then get opportunities based off their appearances in this show. And especially if a lot of these are newcomers, which a lot of them are. So like, I guess it's like on the inner workings of Hollywood, like this could be somebody's big break. And but we don't quite see it yet. And we can't really make that prediction yet. But I will say the person who stood out the most for me, the male lead, I feel like he is like the most promising in terms of like someone I see like just like jumping on to the next thing and being immediately back in our faces and continuing his journey. Do you know what I mean?
From a traditional Hollywood perspective, like he's kind of the breakout guy. But the thing about the show is it's based on a series of books where like it's based on the Bridgerton family. So like every book kind of focuses on like other people in the Bridgerton family. TBD on whether or not he'll even be a major part of the second season.
Right. They'll definitely be. The show will definitely have a few seasons. So these people's like jaunt into Hollywood or jaunt. I don't mean jaunt. Like jump into
foray.
Hollywood. Sure. Like will maybe be delayed because they'll be on this show for another few seasons or whatever. They're not all brand new at all, but like it's just a matter of like the fact that this isn't like a limited series. It's like actually a TV show with seasons. So that could happen.
Before we get too heady about what all this means and what we expect as in terms
like,
of
who are these people?
Fame. Who are they specifically? The main Bridgerton, at least this season, is Daphne. She's the focus of this season. Daphne Bridgerton. This is Phoebe Denevere. And she's like sort of not quite Keira Knightley. She has an extremely Keira Knightley vibe with like
she does.
An interesting mouth that does things you can imitate.
But I think also period stuff kind of like pushes you into a Keira Knightley corner unless you're very careful. And she kind of got pushed into that corner, you know?
It brings
like the
out
minute,
your inner Keira
the minute
Knightley.
An actress puts on one of those like high-waisted dresses that is not flattering on anyone unless they have no boobs or no butt, like the minute that dress goes on that your body, you're all of a sudden like your eyes open wider than they possibly like, could before, and you start talking like Keira Knightley.
The moment your thin belt is above the nipples, you start talking like Keira Knightley.
And I will say what was funny was people were like, how do I know this woman? It's because the same audience that watches Bridgerton definitely watched Younger, and she is in Younger. She plays the, I think she plays
Claire.
Like Claire, but it's Nico Tortellini, whatever her name, Nico Tortorello's girlfriend from one of the later seasons.
You sort of, I mean, there's something a little meta about her because she's so obvious that that's kind of her plot line where it's like, she's the obvious lead. She's the obvious, you know, belle of the ball, number one debutante of the season, but like, is she actually that interesting? Like, what's she actually all about? Which is kind of what the show is doing. Who she is, she's like Keira Knightley, and she's also nepotism. She's British nepotism. Her mom is extremely famous, as far as I can tell, because she was on Coronation Street, which is a soap opera that's been on the air since 1960.
For 35 years.
Right. Her mom, Sally, was. So she has ties to like British drama here, which makes perfect sense. Then next up, we have the person who plays her love interest. I don't think that's a spoiler. Reggae Jean Page, who plays Simon.
Who I think is the breakout, because I think he is the one who people are talking about.
And he has a Shonda relationship. So he was in like sort of a, not a Shonda flop, but a less...
Not a full flop,
property
definitely not. It's no Grey's Anatomy. I think it was on for like a few seasons.
it was like Shonda was like, I could do a lawyer show, and she did a lawyer show, and it didn't get as much attention.
But I do
as
love
Grey's
that
Anatomy.
Shonda was like, oh, that guy from For the People should do it. Like, I like that Shonda has like, it's cool because it's like Ryan Murphy has this also like group of actors that he pulls from. Shonda should have that as well, because there's so many like secondary Shonda actors that I feel like she could like take along for the ride, who didn't really get their shine in these like procedurals that like not many people watched, or at least like a very specific audience watched, you know.
He was also in Roots, and he got a lot of attention for being
the
in the Roots
remake, not the
miniseries,
original.
The reboot. Yeah, the original. Yeah, not the original. He's not old at all. He is not nepotism. He's from Britain. He's Zimbabwean too. And the funny thing is, like, when you watch old videos, like old videos that aren't even that old, that are just a couple of years old, his vibe has completely changed. He is officially like a Netflix hunk right now, and he did not have that vibe as recently as like 2 years ago.
He got a little glow up, and I also think the like role itself, again, the spectacle of it all really kind of like changes. They always say like when you get into costume on like a project like that, you're like, whoa, now I can like fully be immersed. It's like actually do see that for these people, because they just become totally, even with the girl who's from Dairy Girls, it's like,
yeah, we move on to her, Nicola Coughlin.
She's also like kind of a breakout on the show for various reasons, but like she's looks totally different on this show than she does to me from Dairy Girls, which is a show that a lot of people like. It's also on Netflix, but is also kind of one of those shows that's one of those things where it's like, oh, you have to watch Dairy Girls. It's unclear who actually watches Dairy Girls or how many people, but everyone's talking about it.
She's like iconically a lesbian on Dairy Girls.
Yes.
Again, I don't watch the show, but that's, yeah, she's like a fan favorite. I feel like I always see screenshots of her from Dairy Girls. She's also on the show Harlots, which I never watched, but everyone loved. It's on Hulu. Did you watch Harlots?
No, but I've been told many times.
Yeah. There are plenty of other people in this show, obviously, but these are the three that people are talking about when it comes to the young ones. Then I think people are mostly talking about the older people, to be honest. Like, and I kind of find the older people more interesting.
Well, they're better on the show.
It's always the more interesting, like, TV thing. It's not just a Ryan Murphy thing, but you have here, she's pulling, like, kind of established older actresses and giving them really kind of fun, meaty roles. And one of them is Adjoa Ondo, who plays the Duke's, like, aunt. Not quite aunt, but I looked her up, and she's like kind of British theater them is what it seems like. I was like trying to think of an American equivalent, and I was like getting very like Audra McDonald and Stockard Channing-y vibes, because it was like, oh, a woman who's kind of home base is the theater, but she still shows up in like episodic TV pretty frequently. And then there's the woman who plays the Bridgerton matriarch. Her name is Ruth Gemmel. She's also a theater actor and been working at constantly forever. But the most interesting role that I found of hers is that she's the Drew Barrymore role in the British, the original Fever Pitch.
Yeah, you know, this was hard to, the way you wrote this was impossible to
Mrs. Bridgerton was Drew Barrymore in the original Fever Pitch.
I was like, what? I had to literally like click and then think and then stop. And then she played the role that Drew Barrymore then repeated in the movie Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon. This woman was in the original Fever Pitch, which is based on a Nick Hornby book and was made into a British series or movie. I forget.
A movie. And Colin Firth was the
Ruth was the girlfriend.
Yes.
I mean, I just think that what's interesting about being like, who is this about this show is that this show is like good because of its casting. A lot of it is so kind of like the who is good conversation is going to be a little bit kind of meta, because like the whole idea is that the reason why the casting is so good is because it's so thoughtful and it's not people you've heard of, but it's like these kind of like actors that are very good at what they do. But do these kind of do everything, these like everyman players in a way, you know, especially the older actors, you know.
And will they become thems? I don't know. If this were 5 years ago, I'd be much more willing to say yes than now. Things come and go so quickly on Netflix that who is to say? Let's play 8 calls.
We just debated for like a solid 20 minutes who Lucy Hale was, because underneath that mask, she's unrecognizable. Also, Planet Fitness sponsoring this New Year's Eve is bleak. Hi, is Lucy Hale hosting the New Year's Eve show or not? Because we can't decide. Crunch, crunch.
Hello. We're subjecting ourselves to the terrible ABC, Ryan Seacrest bullshit. He said, on to you, Lucy. And I was like, who's that? I didn't recognize her. And I was like, is that Lucy Hale? But I don't know who Lucy Hale is. And I didn't know what she looked like. But I knew that her name was Lucy Hale. Hyaluronic acid.
How the hell does Lucy Hale keep booking New Year's balconies? It is just unfathomable to me.
Why is Lucy Hale on the New Year's Eve broadcast?
Why is Lucy Hale the Times Square correspondent? This is so weird.
Hi, I was just watching Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve, and I'm wondering if Lucy Hale liked her job. Because I can't tell, because she looks so sad, but I also can't imagine she, like, does she need this gig? Probably. But I just don't know. I don't know. What do you think? Crunch, crunch.
Am I crazy for saying that, like, Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve is, like, not as, like, it's not the king anymore? That it's, like, actually Andy and Anderson on CNN? Like, isn't that crazy that it's, like, it's not, do most people, like, I want to know the ratings. It feels like it's not really the one that people are watching. I mean, clearly these people are watching it, but.
Anecdotally, when I was texting people about New Year's, they were watching Anderson Cooper and Andy.
I mean, I don't want to. It's a specific demographic, demo, like, and it's our sample. Yeah. It's a bad sample, but I guess it's I just wonder, like, it just feels like over the past 2 years, like, Dick Clark's rocking. He's not even, like, it feels like it's really but it's like that brand has really lost its flavor. Nobody wants to watch Ryan Seacrest and Lucy Hale countdown from 10.
I certainly don't. I just don't want to watch Ryan Seacrest. I think Ryan Seacrest is like, I'd be happy to watch Sierra and Lucy Hale and Billy Porter talk about New Year's Eve. I'd be happy, but I think Ryan Seacrest brings down the rest of it.
Lucy Hale did co-host it last year. It was her first year in New York, but the previous 3 years they made her do it from New Orleans. I guess she was like the New Orleans correspondent, which that makes it say made her do it. It's an amazing opera. I would fucking love, you get to go to New Orleans and you're the person.
I'd rather be in New Orleans than New York for New Year's. Are you kidding?
Much more fun. So all these people sound surprised, but like she literally did it last year. So it's kind of funny that that's the case.
And what else was there to do this year? So like more people were watching at home than they probably were last year, you know?
And I would argue that out of all the things Lucy Hale does do, this is maybe what she's most suited for because we have this issue with her again and again that like there's something there, there's a spark there, but it's not getting translated to the projects that she is doing as each one of them get canceled in a matter of weeks after they premiere. I mean, I still very much personally think that Lucy Hale was robbed Emily in Paris. Like, I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's true. But in my mind, Lucy Hale was up for Emily in Paris and somehow lost it. And that is a robbery.
Emily in Paris probably shot while Lucy was in Katie Keene, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's like Lucy Hale took it's sliding doors. She got the brown haircut. She didn't get the blonde
haircut. Because, I mean, that was one of our big accounts. We did think that Katie Keene was going to be the thing that finally happened for Lucy Hale.
Yes, we did. No, we didn't. I mean, we were like, oh, here's the thing. It's related to Riverdale. Like, it's going to be big because of Riverdale. And it's like, what the fuck? Yeah, it was cute.
It was a cute show.
But couldn't you see Lucy Hale and Emily in Paris? She's a better actress than Lily Collins. Mm-hmm. It's such a lost opportunity because it's such a silly show that she'd be perfect in. And I just feel like it should have been Lucy. She knows. I bet she knows.
She knows.
People probably called her and said, oh, you're so good at Emily in Paris. And she's like, that's not me.
The script probably says a Lucy Hale type.
I know. Literally.
Also, how many of those calls came from the same house?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like four of you who are hanging out called each separately.
An entire pod called us. A full pod.
And you know what? They were like, this will work. One of us will get. And guess what? We owned you. All of you got.
All of you got it. You all got it. Let's play a game of who or them. How about that?
Vet bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep, up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Hi, short time, first time, but in this short time, I have aggressively gone through the catalog of this podcast. I'm a huge fan. I'm calling about a who them that I have been struggling with, and I feel like the more I think about it, the more I'm still unsure of it, and it's something I'm really passionate about, so feel free to edit this call for brevity if you're to play it, but I want to know if Aaliyah, the late singer Aaliyah, is a who or a them. I'm a huge fan of Aaliyah, so I think she's a them, and I know her work transcends her untimely passing. I mean, she's referenced by a lot of, like, modern singers. One of the biggest songs of 2020, The Box, she's referenced in that. Kanye West has referenced her. People like Drake, Chris Brown, Ill, Frank Ocean have sampled her. And a lot of, like, modern R&B women credit Aaliyah. But I also think that, so her work is them, I think. But because of her passing, I think Gen Z, which I am, doesn't really know who she is. They maybe don't know her, but they've interacted with things that have been inspired by her. So I've been really struggling with this. And also, I do think she'd be a them if it weren't for her passing. So I think she'd be Beyonce.
Sorry, maybe this – I think you got cut off. Maybe you crunched at the end, but that's okay. I think about this a lot. I think the – I actually think this is one of the most fascinating who-thems because I think a major element of Aaliyah's – career and how people see her now is because her music isn't streaming. And we've said this before mm-hmm. on this podcast. I know we have. Yeah. And it's coming on, I think it's coming to Spotify soon. And I'm very curious soon. To see.
That's been the rumor for a long time.
If like the shift will happen, because let's compare Aaliyah to Selena, because they both had an untimely end, a very early like end to their career. She's going to be this big pop diva, yeah. unstoppable. And the reason I can't even say Selena is going to be anyone because there was no one really like her. That's a whole other issue. But Selena versus Aaliyah, Selena's gotten the big biopic. She's got the already got the Netflix remake. There really is more of like a culture of remembering of Selena than Aaliyah, which is crazy to me. Yeah. Because while Aaliyah is referenced all the time by modern artists, they sample her music, her story hasn't really been told in a way that is like affecting.
But I think that that has a lot to do with the estate. Like,
yes, 100%.
It's the estate holding it up. And the thing about Selena's dad, Abraham, that movie came out. I mean, she was barely dead when they fast-tracked that movie.
You're right.
And it was extremely controversial. Everything about the production of that movie was a controversy. And then it came out and people were like, wow, that's a pretty good movie. And a lot of people who didn't know who Selena was now knew who Selena was. And like, there was all the controversy about J-Lo being Puerto Rican. It was like, J-Lo's of Puerto Rican descent and she lives in New York. Like, why aren't we getting like a Mexican-American woman from Texas to do this? Like, this is so fucked up. And also like, why are we making this movie? She just died. Whereas Aaliyah, you have the opposite problem.
But it's crazy to say that and to say in retrospect, it's good that they made that right after. It was, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe because it was good because in retrospect, we know that it was a good movie and we can say, oh, I'm, you know, it's so nice that they made that because it was good. But like, wow, did that really, really cement her as like an icon versus like Aaliyah, who I think is just as important, but her story has not been told in that kind of iconic way. And there has been Aaliyah stories, but again, with if the music isn't usable, it's really difficult to make a biopic good and real and expensive if you literally don't have the music. Like, they'll stop you first thing, you know, that'll stop you immediately. And Aaliyah's story is so interesting. There's a lot of elements to it, a lot of relevance to the R. Kelly story that has been for the past few years a big deal. And I mean, should have, you get what I'm saying, but like, it's
the
just,
R. Kelly stuff makes it really tough, too, also.
It's a disturbing story to tell, for sure. Yeah. But that's what makes it more of an interesting story. You know, that's why it makes it more of an interesting story.
But I think it ultimately goes back, the Gen Z stuff, it goes back to the music not being streaming. I think that's a huge thing, like you said. I think that's your main point, and I think it's ultimately the major one. Like, when I look back at, I was looking through my iTunes, because I remember, like, years and years ago, when I wanted to listen to the Aaliyah album, like the main Aaliyah album, like Aaliyah, the one that came out in, like her last one that came out in 2001. Mm-hmm. And first of all, it wasn't streaming then. It's still not streaming. And so I had to buy it on iTunes. I remember when it came to iTunes, it was like, oh, you can finally buy it. And I have it on iTunes, but you can't buy it anymore. Like, it exists in my iTunes library, but if I didn't own it already, I wouldn't be able to get it now.
It is such a shame how Age Ain't Nothing But a Number is there to listen to Aaliyah's music. It is such
a shame. It's so hard. You have to get like weirdo versions online.
Yeah. Like whatever the fuck is going on with the rights in that family and whoever owns it or whatever is so fucked because it like it really makes it so, like, a younger generation who's, like, listening to, like, SZA and, like, her and, like, Summer Walker and, like, all of these kind of, like, R&B adjacent artists or whatever, pop, R&B, et cetera, that sound mm-hmm. like Aaliyah. That sound yeah. like her. It's crazy.
There's a really good story from over 4 years ago right now on Complex by Stephen Witt that you should read that explains it. Obviously goes back to like the, it's like what happens whenever a record label sort of disintegrates, like where do those rights go,
yeah,
and then couple that with an estate that's like famously litigious where it's like no one can agree on anything and you just have like all the elements to create music that just cannot be heard anywhere. So it's like her uncle and this guy named Barry Hankerson, and every year you see a story that's like, here comes our music. It's coming to Spotify. And then it
they
doesn't
claim
show
it's
up.
Coming. They claim it's coming. It came out. You're yeah. right. Like clockwork. It came
August
out
and September. Yeah. They were like, claimed. It's coming.
Right.
But where is it? It's nowhere.
Very silly.
It's crazy that the only reason I have it is because I happened to buy it at the right time.
Yeah.
Know?
It's funny. And then it got like, wiped off the internet. Yeah.
I'm surprised that it's still in my library because some, you know, your terms of service and stuff, like they could just take away my access to it, you know?
That's why buying,
but for some
that's
reason
why buying
I still
stuff
have
digitally
it.
Is so
is a scam.
Silly and such a scam, but it's all we have. Okay.
Anyway, because I have it, I'm going to play a little bit of Rock the Boat to lead us into the next two of them.
The boat,
because I have
middle,
it.
Work the middle.
But is she a who? Yeah, to younger generations, probably. But she should be a them, and she's a them to older ones.
Weekly, first time, long time. Just had to pause Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We're watching season 3, and we just wanted to know, Yolanda Hadid, who are them?
Yolanda Hadid, who are them? Ready?
Yolanda Hadid, who are them?
1, 2, 3, who?
Who? Yeah, who? Oh my God.
Not only just like in terms of like, this is a who that's not even in terms of, like, whether people know them or not. Like, she's one of the whoiest figures in pop culture. She's just so whoey. Like, her pedigree is whoey. Think about everything that surrounds this woman and the mm-hmm. issues that she's faced. Whoey. All of them.
She is the ex-wife of Muhammad Hadid, who is himself a who. Her children are actual thems, Gigi and Bella.
She's also the ex-wife of David Foster, huge cooey character. Although, I don't know if he's a who, but he's a cooey character who's now
which
married
is why
to
she was on Real
character.
Housewives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a who.
Hi. So I just saw an advert for this new show called, like, Finish the Lyrics or What's the Lyrics or Name That Tune. It's called Name That Tune. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. And Rainey Jackson is in it. So my question is, Rainey Jackson, who are them? Thanks. Me inside.
Rainey Jackson, judge from American Idol, but also like iconic music producer, music industry them for sure. But what do we think broadly? Who or them? 1, 2, 3. Who?
Them? Oh, no.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe now my millennial showing. His name to me is like so... Well, he hasn't been on American Idol for a while. Is he still
been
on American
a long
Idol?
Time.
No, he's not on American Idol
no,
anymore. He
he's
hasn't
not.
Been on for a while. I guess he's hosting this game show. He's not really like a name in music as he once was. Like he's more of like a legend. Like people refer to him like David Foster. They're like the iconic
yeah,
work
he's
of,
a David Foster.
Of
yeah, yeah,
Randy
yeah.
Jackson. But also I think like even when he was on American Idol, most people weren't even like, oh, Randy Jackson's music. I can name them. Do you know what I mean? Like even then it was yeah. more... Interesting. And I think the legacy of American Idol is not as potent as people think it is. Okay. You convinced me now. Fine.
I think he's a who.
Okay, he's a who.
I think he's a who. However, name that tune. It's really funny hearing this caller not know what Name That Tune is. It's a remake of a very old show caller. What's it called? What are the lyrics? Name That.
I'm really good at Name That Tune, by the way.
I love Name That Tune.
I think I'm good. I can always name it in like three notes.
Is 2008's The Other Bullion Girl. Who are them?
I'm so mad at this caller. The 2008 The Other Bullion Girl.
Who are them?
Who are them? 1, 2, 3.
Who?
Who?
Literally, she's the other one. No one even knows her. Who is she?
It's the one of the whoiest movies of all time.
Of all time.
And to use the this at Oscar buzz convention, it's like one of the top movies that pops up whenever I think about movies that like quote unquote had Oscar buzz.
Yeah.
And then like went nowhere, where it's just like, oh, this is actually just a trash movie that had a nice cast, a very, very like it person cast.
Yeah.
That had a lot of buzz and then no one cared when it came out because it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a who. Mm-hmm. It's a who.
Mm-hmm.
Are Siskel and Ebert who's or them's? My husband and I were just talking about them and like they're definitely them's to me. But like, I don't know. Do 20-year-olds know who Siskel and Ebert are? Like, are they still in the consciousness enough that, like, they still are them, even though they're both, like, dead? But, like, do they have the legacy to still be them's, or are they who's? This is a stupid call. Leanne Cuisine.
This is a stupid call, Leanne Cuisine. That is in and of itself a sign-off. This is a stupid call, Leanne Cuisine.
I don't know what to tell you.
This is actually kind of fucking with me.
It's a little fucking with me.
Oh my God, how much I love that show. Oh my God.
Siskel and Ebert. You can't be an impartial judge as they were not impartial judges on their show, and you can't be an impartial judge on their show.
But this is what I'm saying. The reason it's fucking me up is I think that they're who's.
You do?
If you say one, two, three. Who's?
Them. God, I feel like Ebert, though, is still a them. Like his name still holds a lot of water.
He has got his foundation. His wife is, yeah. Chaz is like doing all the work to like keep his name alive. But yeah. Like the show in and of itself, like do people know where Two Thumbs Up comes from? Do people still even do Two Thumbs Up? I don't know. I feel very disconnected. And I suspect that the show, that people younger than we are don't know what Siskel and Ebert was. Maybe they know the name Roger Ebert. Maybe. But at this point, even Roger Ebert's been dead for quite a few years now.
I know, but I just...
Siskel's been dead for over 20.
You're depressing me. I know. Sad. I know. You're right.
Chicago thems. Chicago thems,
you know,
I call them
a who.
Chicago thems.
You know who's definitely a who? Roper.
Oh, that's a who. Oh, my God.
That guy's a Roper, huge who. Roper. He's a who, right?
Remember the months-long search for who will replace Siskel? And then
it
it's him? And everyone's
Roper.
Like, what?
I know.
This buffoon?
I know.
Replacing him with just, like, the dumbest guy who just, like,
wow.
Most populist movie guy.
We hate Roper.
Oh, I hate Roper. Siskel, the whole point about Siskel and Ebert, for those of you who don't understand, the dynamic of Siskel and Ebert was that, like, if maybe it wasn't true in real life, but it was, like, they fought. They had very different opinions. Yes, they obviously agreed sometimes, but when they didn't agree on stuff, that's why you watched it. They fought. It was nasty sometimes. They made fun of each other, where it's like, oh, you would like this. Oh, you wouldn't like this. Like,
kind of like
us. And then
us.
They replace it with, yeah, and then you replace it with, wow. Richard Roper, who's just like, great, I loved Gladiator. You know, like, it's just like, what else does he have to say?
You've hit a nerve.
Okay, we're done. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There, our weekly call-in show. Call in at 619-WHO. Them to leave questions, comments, and concerns, and we may answer it on a future episode. Support us on patreon.com/weekly for twice weekly bonus episodes, and I don't know what else to tell you. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Hey, I want to be famous.
Hi, Hillary Duff got an eye infection from the amount of COVID tests she took. She just took so many because of all the filming and stuff. Wild.
Okay, Lindsay, Bobby, long time. I'm kind of confused. I think I'm having a Mandela effect situation. Because I always thought it was Doug the Bounty Hunter. And I kind of remember from, like, last year when I think his wife died and you were talking about it, like, the same thought. So is there a different Doug the Bounty Hunter? Or has it always been Doug? Me and the Irish Sun. Thanks, bye.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I feel like my moment to contribute to this podcast has perhaps arrived. Of course, I'm calling about Ilaria because as a third-year medical student, her mother Catherine Hayward was actually my preceptor for my primary care rotation for my entire third year at Mass General. And aside from being a crazy snake oil saleswoman who would try to pressure her patients from Charlestown into paying her thousands of dollars for her to give them, like, all kinds of unproven treatments and put them all on macrobiotic diets, she would also tell me about her daughter, Hillary, who was a yoga instructor in New York, and show me pictures of Hillary dancing in ballroom dance competitions. So I've kind of been waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it has. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
Azalea Banks sleeps on the floor. Thanks.